God, been good to you, say amen. Best friend I've ever had. Bless his name.
Every morning when I wake up to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. Yes, he's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many things that I can praise God for, and if I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. But if I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son. Now that's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'll lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, yes, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done.
God been good to you, say amen. Somebody ought to get excited tonight that you're not on your way to hell, but you're on your way to glory. You've got a good God. He puts food on your table, puts shoes on your feet, puts clothes on your back. He pays your bills just in time. He reached down and saved your children. Somebody ought to give God praise. Woo! Bless his name. I had something else I wanted to sing, but God just stirring my heart tonight. I like it when he loads your wagon. See, he knows that tomorrow somebody's going to fight hell. He knows that somebody's going to have to stand toe-to-toe with the devil. You might as well get your wagon loaded up tonight, because you're going to fight a battle tomorrow just for being here. But I want to tell you something. The Bible's still right when it says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. Tonight, I want to get so full of God that the devil can't even stand to be around me tomorrow. I don't know if you label the devil your boss, your spouse, or people you have to live with, but I thank God that I can stand toe-to-toe with anything I've got to deal with tomorrow when I get in God's presence tonight. Oh, Gracie, sing this song. I just wanted him to know. Oh, bless his name. He's so good to us. Think about all the things he's done for you. It won't take you long to start worshiping him tonight and believing that if he did it back there, he's going to help you tomorrow too.
Where once were oceans, where once were mountains, you made strength in knowing you are near me, and peace that you alone bestow. I love you more today than ever, and I just wanted you to know. Where there is fear, Lord, you will hide me. When winds of danger around me blow, I feel your arms of grace surround me, and I just wanted you to know there's strength in knowing you are near.
Bless his holy name. God's good, ain't he? I love to get in his presence. I love to get around his people. And I know it's raining outside, but there's something else falling down in here tonight. And it's the presence of God Almighty. And I get excited. I could sing all night, honestly, just because I love to worship him. But I also love to take his word and let it fill our soul. And worship is what we give back to him because he's worthy. His word is what he gives to us so we can have strength for the journey. Amen. And I'm thankful for all that God's doing. I watched those three little girls down here and I thought about mine. She's somewhere. They're both somewhere around here. I hope that they're in church tonight. They may be on the playground with, or down the street playing with some other kids. I don't know. But hopefully they're at least on the church ground. And I thought, you know, how awesome it is that kids are being raised up in this. And they're seeing this. Listen, I know some of you got a lot to do tomorrow. And you're already thinking in your mind what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't let the devil deceive you or distract you from what God's trying to do right now. And I watched that, and I like sitting in church. I don't like to keep watching my watch and worry about what I'm going to do tonight and tomorrow and all that kind of. Listen, we go on Netflix binges and watch for hours, and we'll go home and watch our programs for hours, and men will sit in a deer stand for hours waiting on that buck just to walk by. And I mean, we spend all of our time and energy into doing those things, and I love it. I enjoy it. That's time with family, and that's time time where we do recreational things, and we spend time. I saw something the other day that said that kids, teenagers, on an average, spend 13 hours per week on the computer, on Facebook, or on social media. 13 hours a week doing nothing but checking out what everybody else is doing. Somebody say, get a life. Amen. But we spend a lot of time on Facebook, but we spend no time in the book. You spend your time on Facebook, but it's time we get our face in the book. That same statistic said that kids spend on average reading scripture 5 minutes a week. 13 hours to 5 minutes a week. I want to tell you something. I like getting in church and not having anywhere to go. I like getting in church and letting it sink in, and I like getting in His presence. And I didn't come in tonight, and I'm the visitor, so it don't matter, but I hope you didn't get in to get out. And I want God to do something in your life. I want Him to stir you for revival. And you're not going to hear the best preaching tonight, because I know who's on the docket. But I promise you, if you'll get beside God, get right with God. And I told you last night, if every person could leave right with God, it'd be amazing how God can change your life. And the only reason we're not right with God is the person that's sitting in your seat. And the only reason I'm not right with God is the man who stands in my suit tonight. It's me. And I want to get as much of God as I can, because I know that there's other things out there to distract me. And tonight, I don't want you to be distracted. I want you to allow God to sit down in your life and give you something. And I was saying, I watched those little girls pray together, and I watched all these families come together, and these young people, and these married couples, and these wives, and these men and husbands. And I think, my goodness, there's still hope for America when people can find their way to the altar. And if you could get yourself and your life fixed at the feet of Jesus, there's things that God can do at His feet that can change your life forever. Martha was in the kitchen, and she was doing what she knew to do. And I thank God for the people who work for God and serve God, and they do the majority of the things. 10% of the people in the church do 90% of the work. Now, there's something wrong with that. But Martha was in the kitchen, and she said, Jesus, tell my sister to come help me. And Jesus looked down at Mary, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with so many things. And thank God that there's people that will serve God. But while you're serving, you need to take time to sit at His feet. Because you'll run on empty the rest of your life if you never find your way to the feet of Jesus. Stop worrying about your job tomorrow. Stop worrying about getting those kids fixed and in the right place. You're in the right place right now. Get at His feet and get all you can. Jesus said that good thing will not be taken away from her. Oh, I want something good from life. I'm tired of the guilt of life. I want something good. Amen. I didn't come to say all that, and I had none of that written down, but maybe that's for somebody else. And I hope that it helped you tonight. I want you to take your Bibles real quickly, and I'm just going to use this microphone if that's all right. And I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. When you get there, I want you to stand to your feet and stretch your legs out a little bit and stand in reverence of God's Word. And we're going to take a simple thought from a very familiar piece of scripture. No doubt this scripture's probably been preached here before more than one time. And I'm not trying to give you something that you've already heard, but I found that the Word of God is inexhaustible. I found that you can read Psalm 23, and it does not matter. It always encourages your heart, as long as you know the shepherd of Psalm 23. And as long as you know the God that we're talking about in Mark chapter number 5, I promise you, God can always feed your soul. I'm amazed at people who don't like hearing the same preacher over and over. And we run into people like that. Why don't you have different people come in instead of those same people that preach over and over again? Same reason you keep going back to that same restaurant you like so much. And you keep ordering that same meal that you've always ordered. It's because you are getting fed by what you know is helping your life, your physical body. Well, we preach from the same scripture sometimes because there's so much good on it, it feels good to eat it again. Mark chapter number 5, are you there? Say amen. Bible says in verse number 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, I'm glad that God's taken us somewhere and he's taken us to the other side. When Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. That's a good place to be. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed. And watch this, she shall live. I love this man's faith. He believed that Jesus had exactly what he needed. Keep reading. And when Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I love this woman's faith. She believed Jesus had everything she needed. Keep reading. The Bible says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You want to know what's wrong with us sometimes? We never get to the place where we can tell God all the truth. You will never get fixed of what is breaking your life if you don't ever get honest with God. She told him the whole truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You can have a seat. Brother Dalton, you step up here and you pray for us tonight.
Thank you, buddy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for meeting with us tonight, God. I thank you for, Lord, moving through here, Lord, as we sang these songs, Lord, as we worshiped. Lord, I pray that you'd touch Brother Brent, Lord, whatever you're giving him tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bring back his study. God, I pray that you'd, Lord, guard his eyes, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help him to preach like he never had before. Lord, I pray that you'd hide him behind the cross tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you'd use him. Lord, there's somebody in here that needs it, God. And Lord, there's somebody in here that's lost. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you could start right now. Lord, I pray that you'd convict him. Lord, I pray that you'd use Brother Brent tonight to touch souls, God. Lord, I pray that you'd move through this place. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, buddy. I love this scripture. It's one of the most familiar scriptures, one of the most familiar miracles that Jesus performed while he was in this town. And there's so many things that take place. I don't have enough time tonight to give them all to you. But I do want to tell you, I'm glad that Jesus is exactly what I need when I need him. And I find in my life that it does not matter what my issue is, just like these two people. I love the similarities of these people. Jairus and this woman who has the issue of blood are from the same town. Everybody understands that they are in the same vicinity of that town. And when they come, they both have issues. And it's amazing the similarities of it that many times we'll look over it. But the Bible tells us that Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter who was laying at the point of death. And in fact, as Jairus is speaking to Jesus and telling him, as Jairus is kneeling at the feet of Jesus back at his house, what he does not realize is that his little girl is drawing her last breath. And before Jairus and Jesus finish their conversation, that little girl will have the death rattle in her chest and she will die in her bed. 12 years this man has watched this little girl. 12 years this man has invested in this little girl's life. 12 years he's watched her grow up to be a little girl of 12 years of age and full of pride and full of joy and happiness. But now as he kneels, he's in desperation. He's in the desperation mode where he's got nowhere else he can go. He's got nobody else he can turn to. And he finds his way at the feet of Jesus. In the same sense, there is a woman that falls at the feet of Jesus and she has an issue of blood also 12 years. No doubt this woman is somebody's daughter who for 12 years has struggled. 12 years has bore a burden. The amazing thing is Jairus' problem is on the outside and they see his daughter dying. This woman's got an issue on the inside. I'm glad that he is a God. He is a Savior. He is a physician that can fix what's wrong on the outside and he can fix what's wrong on the inside. I find out that there are some things about this story that pop out to me that I've got to tell you tonight before I get into the body of this sermon. I've got to tell you the differences between those two people. Jairus is a man that everybody knows. Jairus is a good man. He's a ruler of the synagogue. This ain't some drug addict. This ain't some alcoholic. This ain't a wife abuser. This ain't a child abuser. This is a man who knows the Bible. He knows the law. He works in church. He spends his life trying to be a good man. And there he finds himself. Listen, you can live the right life. You can live as good as you can be. But there are still issues. There are still problems that will break you and bring you to the feet of Jesus. There's somebody in here tonight and you may sit in bitterness because you've run into problems and you think maybe God's mad at you and you've done something wrong. Let me tell you something. You're not going through valleys. You're not going through struggles because you've done something wrong necessarily, but you're going through things because God needs you to get to the feet of Jesus. Jairus is named. In the Bible it said his name was Jairus. We know what Jairus does. We know his occupation. We know he's a good man. But on the other sense, on the other side, here comes this woman. We don't know anything about her. We don't know who she is. We don't know where she comes from. Oh, we don't know her name. The Bible doesn't mention who she is or who her mama and daddy is, if she has a family that loves her. The Bible only says what her problem is, what her issue is, and that she's a woman with an issue of blood. I'm here to tell you that I sure am thankful that whether you're named or not named, whether you're known by people or not known by people, you still need to get to the feet of Jesus. I sure am thankful you got Jairus, who's a church goer, and then you got this woman who's rejected by the church. In Leviticus it says that if there's a woman with an issue of blood, she is to be put out of the church. She's to be pushed out of the community. Everywhere she goes, she's got to say unclean, unclean, unclean. You know what I love about Jesus is he can take the preacher and he can take the prostitute. Jesus, he is for those that sing in the choir, and it's for those who sit in the mire. The thing I love about Jesus Christ is it don't matter who you are as long as you know who He is. I'll stop hollering so loud if you'll turn me back up. I sure am thankful that Jesus is for everybody. I like what one boy told me. He said, "Preacher, I just don't know if Jesus is for me. I just don't know if all that Jesus stuff, that hollering and sweating, it's just not my character. It's not what I do. And it's not what I like to be around." Another boy sitting over there, he didn't know much, and he wasn't smart, and he wasn't educated, but he said this. He said, "The way I look at Jesus is He's one size fits all, and He fits you too." I sure am thankful that it does not matter what your issue is. God can fix your marriage. God can reach your children. Whatever your problem is, God can reach down in your soul tonight, and He is exactly what you need. But you've got to get out of where you've been living. You've got to get away from the crowd, and you've got to get to the feet of Jesus. You don't need your friends as much as you think you do. You don't need those crowds out there as much as you think you do. You need one, and His name is Jesus. Tonight, if your marriage is a mess, I want to challenge you, try Jesus. Tonight, if your heart is broken, I want to encourage you, try Jesus. What I love about these two people is they come from opposite ends of the street, but both of them found that the only place they could go, the only person they could find, the only place that they could be and get the what they needed was at the feet of Jesus. Tonight, I want to challenge you, try Jesus. He's everything you'll ever need. I love the life of this woman, and I love the story that God portrays to us. And how many of you will believe tonight that this Bible is the infallible Word of God? These stories are not just put in there for Sunday school lessons. These stories are in there as examples of what God can do in our lives. And I know it's a story you've heard 1,000 times over. I know it's a sermon you've heard preach 1,000 times over. But the problem is if you're anything like me, I'll hear a sermon and I'll walk right out and go right back to doing the same things I've always done. I'll go back to Facebook and I'll start having problems with everybody on Facebook. I'll go right back to a workplace and I'll start doing what everybody else does. I live in a vicious cycle of doing the same things over and over again. Is there anybody else out there that has been like me before? There's times where you'll go back to those habits you used to have. And tonight I want to tell you that before you run back and leave this place and go back to that same vicious cycle that you've been doing, fathers hollering at daughters and fathers hollering at children and men and women not getting along in their house and their marriage is on the rocks and divorce is on the way. But I want to tell you something. Before you go to the divorce court, try Jesus. Before you give up on them children, try Jesus. Before you give up on a spouse, try Jesus. Before you give up on faith, try Jesus. It does not matter what you need. Jesus is your answer. These two people from completely different backgrounds found themselves at the feet of Jesus, believing by faith that He had everything they would ever need. Tonight, I want to preach on that thought. Try Jesus. He's all we'll ever need. I don't need the brotherhood. I don't need people to approve of what I do. They wasn't there when nobody knew who I was. They didn't call me to do what I'm doing. There was a man who knew my name before anybody else did. Not only did he know my name, he knew my need. You don't need other people as much as you need Jesus Christ. There may be somebody in here tonight like these others that have fallen on their face and given their life to Jesus.
You may not know that Jesus is your Savior. Heaven is your home. I want to challenge you tonight. If you don't know Him, try Jesus. He's everything you'll ever need. I find in the life of this woman some things that I want to observe tonight real quickly. And I'll give them to you as quick as I can. Tonight, I believe that if every person in here would be challenged enough to try Jesus, I believe that we ought to observe the life of this woman and see that He is worth trying in every issue of life. And the first observation I want you to look at tonight is observation number one. I want you to observe her desperation of her past. The desperation of her past. Watch this. The Bible does not tell us who this woman is. It just tells us what her need is. It tells us what her issue is. Are you with me? Say amen. Bible said that a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. This woman is bringing with her to Jesus a past of 12 years that was troubling and desperate. It was a past that everywhere she went, she had to carry that baggage with her, had to carry those problems with her, had to carry those scars and those issues with her. And here she comes, and she finds her way at the feet of Jesus. But I want you to look at where this woman came from. We don't know who she is, but we know what her need is. We understand that she's got an issue that nobody else can fix. She's got a problem that nobody else wants to deal with. In fact, the Bible said that she went to many physicians. Not just one physician, but she went to a physician after physician after physician, and not one of them could help her. Isn't it amazing? In that day and age, they didn't have specialists like we've got today. If you had a heart issue, you go to a heart specialist. If you have a problem with the nervous system, you go to a neurosurgeon. If you have a problem with cancer, you go to an oncologist. And whatever your need is, you find a specialist and they try to help you. In this day, that's not how it worked. And in this day, what they did was they would go to one doctor who was a practicing physician. He would try all these tests on the subject, on the patient, and try to fix whatever was wrong. If he wasn't able to fix it, he would send her to the next one. And can you see this woman carrying that baggage, carrying her hurt? Everywhere she goes, she's got to holler, unclean, unclean, unclean. She's walking down the street and women are grabbing their children and they're running from her like she's some vagabond, like she's some kind of diseased woman. And everywhere she goes, she wears that lapel, that label that I'm unclean. Stay away from me. I'm unclean. And she goes from one place to the next. And watch this. The people that were supposed to be a help to her didn't help her at all, but only made her worse. Isn't it awful in this life when you go to people and they are supposed to be exactly what you think is going to give you what you need, and when you go, they leave you instead of depositing a blessing, they leave you in a deficit. I'm here to tell you that that's what man will do to you. That's what people will do to you. There's women in here who you think, if I could just find me a man, I'd be all right. Honey, run for your life. You don't need a man. You need the man. There's men in here. You say, if I could just get enough money, everything be all right. And you go work a job and you spend your life on a job and it makes you worse than you were when you got there. You're depressed. You feel like you're inadequate. You feel like you can't make it happen. People working you to the bone just so they can make the money. And there you sit, wore out in life. Can I tell you where you'll find your purpose? It's in Jesus. People all over the place are trying all kinds of of things. They're going from one place to the next. Got young people that you're trying every click and group that you can find. You're trying to find every little place just to fit in. And you are becoming the people that you hang around with. And you think, if I talk like this, or if I dress like that, or if I act like this, if I listen to that same kind of music, if I cuss like they do, if I smoke like they do, if I drink like they do, I can fit in. Can I tell you something? Other people will try to change you to fit who they are. You know what I love about Jesus is you ain't got to change nothing. He does all the changing for you. Just as I am without one plea, I'm glad God doesn't expect me to be what I am not just to fit in with Him. He loves me as if I was His only one. Everywhere she goes, this woman's got a desperate past. She's clinging to and bringing with her and announcing to everybody, I'm so messed up. Now, ain't nobody who ever walks in church and as you walk in the door broadcast how messed up you are. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you sit in here tonight and you've had people who have left you worse than when they found you? And here you sit and you won't announce it, but you feel unclean. You feel unfit. You feel, I can't hack it. I can't make it. And there you sit alone. And it's amazing how this little woman is carrying her scars with her everywhere she goes. If we could roll back the sleeves and roll back the facade and roll off the makeup, roll off the suits, roll off the dresses, we would see deep down in the heart of people that's in this very room scars that they bear. I want to tell you something. I know somebody who can fix the deepest, darkest hurt in your life. And I'm trying to get you to understand, as feeble an effort as this is tonight, try Jesus. I remember being a kid, me and my brother would play outside, and we didn't have Xbox when we was a kid. I couldn't even spell Xbox. We was talking about this the other day, we didn't have PlayStation. Daddy said, go to the woods. That's your station. Go play. We didn't have video games, didn't have internet, didn't have none of that growing up. We'd go outside. We'd play from sun up to sundown. Daddy said, if you wasn't bleeding, if you wasn't muddy and wasn't nasty and didn't smell like something you ought not smell like, you didn't play hard enough. I remember one day my brother was digging holes, and I had my little Tonka truck, and I was running that Tonka truck, and he was filling it up with dirt, and I'd run it. I mean, we was playing construction, and you remember those big old Tonka things? You had to make the noise for it. Nowadays, you hit a button, and the little Tonka truck drives itself around, makes all the noise. That's why your kids have no imagination. Because you're buying them stuff that makes, let them kids make some noise out there. Amen. Some of you looking at me like, I wish he'd shut up. I ain't going to hush until you smile. I remember one time I had that Tonka truck and I was running, and my brother wheeled around with that shovel and he caught me right across my forehead. And I mean, cracked me right in the forehead. We found out later in the x-ray that he had cracked the skull right there and split my head wide open, and I was bleeding everywhere. I mean, blood was coming out, and I was sitting there holding it. I said, is it bleeding? He said, no, it ain't bleeding. It ain't bleeding. I pulled my hand down, there's a pool of blood. You liar, you killed me. He said, I'm sorry, don't tell mama. I remember they took me to the emergency room because they couldn't get it to stop bleeding. And as they took me to the emergency room, that doctor said, we don't have enough time to put anesthesia on that. We don't have enough time to numb it. He said, I've got to sew this thing up quick. And I never will forget it. Before that medicine ever kicked in, he started digging that needle in my forehead. And I remember what that thing felt like. I was screaming. My brother was screaming. And my mama was saying, shut up. And I was sitting there, it hurts. And that doctor, she looked at that doctor and said, hurry up. And as they were digging that needle in, I felt it every time. And he sewed that thing up. The most painful experience. I can feel it right now as I'm telling it. I was crying. I never will forget it. I sat up and they showed me a mirror of what I looked like. And there's just a big old line. Looked like a railroad track right there. And I said, I'm hideous. Bad thing about it is we had school pictures the next week. If you go in my yearbook from that year, you will see me in my railroad track right there. Man, I felt so awful. I didn't want kids to see me. I felt so bad because I felt like I was just had this big old railroad track right there. Everywhere I go, I try to hide it from people. I tried to grow my hair out, but when you ain't got no hair, it ain't gonna work. It wasn't long ago, probably back in November, I believe it was, at Thanksgiving. My brother was sitting at the table with me, and he's just staring at me. And I caught him staring at me, and I said, what are you looking at? And he poked me in the forehead, and he said, I was just looking at your scar. He said, do you remember that? I said, remember it? Me and you hadn't been close since that day because of it. And he said, man, I had forgotten all about that. And he said, you know, you can barely even tell. He said, you remember how upset you were because you thought everybody would talk about you having that scar there? He said, man, it just became a part of you. I didn't even notice it anymore. Some of you are squinting, trying to see. I don't want you to see. But if you look real close, you can see the scar. But he said, you remember how painful that was for you? I said, yes, sir, it does. He said, does it hurt anymore? I said, no. I said, I'll be honest with you, I look at myself in the mirror every day, and I barely even notice it anymore. Now, if I could take you back to when I was just a child, I could take you back to when there was nothing but fear and pain because of what I was feeling. But today, I don't feel the pain. I only bear the scar. And tonight, you don't have to feel the wound of your past. If you could just try Jesus, He can take you from a wounded soul to a witnessing soul. You know what a scar is? It doesn't tell you about the present pain. It just tells you about an experience of what used to be. And tonight, I don't have to bear the scar. I don't have to bear the wound or the pain or the hurt of my past unless my past is still my present. And the thing about this woman is when she found her way to Jesus, her past was erased. That's why I like that song y'all just sung a while ago. Jesus buried my past. And you may bear scars tonight, but you ought to get at His feet and thank Him that you're not bearing the pain of what used to be. She had a desperate past. I give you these next two real quickly and I'll take my seat. Observe the desperation of her past and observe also the determination of her pursuit. This woman wasn't supposed to be in that town. This woman wasn't supposed to be anywhere near Jesus. And I tell you, someone else that woman wasn't supposed to be near. She wasn't supposed to be near the synagogue. Isn't it amazing? Can I come down here? Are y'all all right with that? Isn't it amazing how God sets everything up? I got to thinking about it. In Leviticus, preacher, it says that this woman was to be cast out. In fact, the exact verse says this, that if there's a woman with an issue of blood for 7 days, she must be exiled out of the camp for 7 more days of purification and cleansing. But for 12 years, this woman has been going through something that did not stop. Do you ever feel like your problems are flooding problems? And they don't stop. The Bible says that the enemy will come in like a flood. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. You ever noticed that this woman was to be put out of the synagogue? I wonder who would have put her out. Maybe a ruler of the synagogue. Isn't it amazing how God can bring you to the right place at the right time? And as she's coming to Jesus, who is Jesus hanging out with? The ruler of the synagogue. Be careful about who you cast out. Because when you need Jesus, you may find them there too. But that's what I love about Him. Because He can take the man who has everything and the woman who has nothing and bring them to the same place. That's revival and that's redemption in the best sense. The Bible said this woman shouldn't have been there that day, but she made up her mind that nothing was going to stop her. I don't have enough time to tell you about all this, but I never will forget it. Preacher, we were sitting in a meeting. There's a bunch of kids that come to the altar. And they was praying and they were singing in the youth choir. And the youth choir was up singing. And as they were singing, kids would, like y'all's did, pile out of the youth choir, come down and they'd huddle up with each other. And I'm talking about that's the kind of church service I want to be a part of. They're snotting all over each other. They're crying all over each other. And they're sitting there wiping tears with each other. They'd get up out of that group and go back up in the choir and start singing again, lift up that hand. They'd sing that same verse over again. And that same group of kids come out of that choir again, get down to the altar. And I mean, we was having church about 5 songs in a row, people shouting, those kids snotting, and everybody just having a good time. I was sitting here wiping tears. I was just a kid preacher. I didn't know anything, but I was enjoying the presence of God. And there was an old preacher that was sitting on the front row with me, beside me, and about the 5th time that group of kids came down, he leaned over to me and he said, "You seen them kids, they keep coming during the same verse of that same song, and they come to the same place, that same group of kids." He said, "I wish they would get fixed whatever's messed up with them." And mama and daddy taught me, never talk back to your elders. But mama and daddy was not in church that night. And before you ever say something and you knew you shouldn't have said it, but you said it anyway. I leaned over at him as soon as he said that. I said, "Hey, it ain't the people that keep coming that bothers me. It's all these people that never come that bother me." You want to know why those kids keep coming? They keep coming because they have found a place that can fix whatever's wrong with them. And listen, I don't care if you got to come 5 times during the service. It does not bother me that you come to an altar. I want to tell you something. The reason America is in the position it's in, and the reason the churches are in the positions they're in, is because they've ripped out of the church the altars. They've ripped out. They've got stage lights and they've got stages and they have entertainment, but they have no altar, and your family's going to be messed up, and your heart's going to be messed up, and your church will be messed up if you do not have an altar. It's at the altar that you lay your will down and you take up new life. It's at the altar that you sacrifice you and you get all of Him. It's the altar that alters your life. This woman decided nothing was going to stop her. from getting to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. What's keeping you from getting all of Jesus that you need? The determination of her pursuit. She didn't let proper protocol. You're not even supposed to be here. And I'll be honest with you, ain't a one of us deserved to be at the feet of Jesus. I wished I could preach more. I know y'all ain't got time to hear me ramble on, but God's jumping up and down in my soul. Y'all have helped me this week. Simon the Pharisee sitting at the table with Jesus, and here comes this woman who's messed up. This woman who's got a lifestyle, the Bible only says same kind of sense. The Bible never tells us her name. It just says that she's a woman from the city, and she's a sinner. And that woman came in and started anointing the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that Simon said to his buddies, if he knew who was touching him right now, he wouldn't let that woman in this place. And Jesus knows every heart that's not right with him tonight, too. He said, Simon, I got something to say to you. You listening? And he pridefully, some of that stuff we was talking about, pridefully, say on, Master. Master. He just rebuked Jesus in his spirit. I want to come back. I wonder how many times you've sat and somebody does something that doesn't necessarily make you feel comfortable, and you rebuke God because of it. Y'all don't do that in this church. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are sanctified and sanctimonious. And I'm not talking about y'all, but there are other churches we go to where there's some messed up people in there. And he said, say on, Master. And Jesus said, if a man forgives much or he forgives little, who do you think is going to love more? Simon said, I got it. You're trying to trick me, Jesus. I got it. The one who loves the most is the one he forgave the most. And Jesus looked at him and said, I came into your house. I walked up your dirty driveway. I came through your house getting my feet dirty with your stuff to come to your house. And you didn't wash my feet. I came in here and you've been sitting at the table like some dignitary. And you didn't hug me, you didn't kiss me, you didn't welcome me. That was the standard welcoming, an invitation that you're welcome with me. You didn't welcome me. You gave me nothing to anoint myself, which was also a sign of friendship. Come into our house, we accept you the way you are. And he said, but since this woman's got here, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. See, Simon, you've never been forgiven. You can never understand the love of those who've been forgiven. You want to know why people come to the altar, and you want to know why that choir's got an anointing on them? It's because they remember being forgiven. And it's not the people who have never been forgiven. Because I'm going to be honest with you. We all have stuff that we need to be forgiven. And it's not that you haven't been forgiven. It's that too many times we forget that we were forgiven. But if you could remember what it was like when you thought nobody wanted you. And he said, come unto me. And you tried, Jesus, and found out that other people will never forget what you've done. Other people will never forgive who you were. But he chose not to remember. She was determined. Nothing is going to stop me from getting to Jesus. I want to ask you something again. What's keeping you from giving him all that you are, including the baggage and the past? Observe the desperation of her past. Observe the determination of her pursuit. And lastly, I'm done, the discovery of her position. She comes behind him. Watch. Y'all got time for this? Watch. Jesus and Jairus are walking to Jairus' house, which tells me that this woman's coming from the other end of the road. It tells me she's coming from the other side of the tracks. She's coming from a place that nobody wants to know her. I'm amazed at how many people are at Jairus' house weeping for Jairus, but there ain't nobody crying for her. I'm amazed at how many people are praying and pulling for Jairus, but there ain't nobody pulling for her. And in fact, if they knew she was even there, they'd spit on her and deny her. But she wasn't coming for them. She was coming for him. And the Bible said that she came from behind. And she said, if I could just, he hadn't even got to acknowledge me. I could spend all night preaching right there. They didn't call my name out. He didn't get me to sing that song. But if you need something from God, you ain't going to care about nobody else. He don't even have to acknowledge, I'm not worthy. But if I could just touch, I've tried everything I could. I'm at the end of my rope. But I'm glad that every time I've been at the end of my rope, all I got to do is look up, because when you're at the end of your rope, you're at the hem of his garment. That's a good sermon title right there. You'll preach that. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, the Bible said that virtue went out of him. I know y'all are bored, but I want to give you this, the rest of it. I just keep boring you. Amen. The reason there was a law that said she couldn't be there is because the Levites believed and the law believed that the nasting that was on her would get on the priesthood, and it would mess up the whole law, and it mess up the whole practices of the tabernacle. So they said, you got to stay away because we've got to stay clean. Because they thought whatever is messed up in her will get on to them. But here's what I love about this scripture. We're not in Leviticus. We've already bypassed the law. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. Too many people are living in the Old Testament. You got to understand something. We're in Mark chapter number 5 now. It's a new day. There's a new master. Oh, there's a new law. There's a new covenant. And it's him. It's all wrapped up and tied up in him. And we're not in Leviticus anymore. And it's not that what she had would get on him, but it's what he had that got into her. Bless his name. I sure am thankful that he took my rags and he took my filth, but he enrobed me not by the righteousness that I have, for my righteousness is as filthy garments, but he enrobed me in the righteousness of God Almighty. And I don't stand as who I used to be. I don't stand in what I used to. I'm in the new covenant. I'm in the new law. And it's not what I've God that got on him, it's what he is that got in me. Somebody ought to praise God. He said, who touched me? And the disciples, the pastoral committee, just go ahead and tell you, you already know this, but sometimes the pastoral staff have no idea what's going on. Who touched me? Who touched you? You don't see all these people rubbing up against you and touching you. And see what he was saying. They thought somebody touched him from the outside. But they couldn't see that it was more than just a touch on the outside. She touched the inside. She didn't just touch the hem. She touched him. That's good stuff, right? I should have started with that. It ain't in my notes. You can look at it. That's God talking. And she touched the hem of his garment. Virtue came into her. Now all of a sudden she's changed. But she's fearful about it. Because all them people around, they know what she used to be. And he said, who touched me? That's why it's important that when you get changed, you tell somebody that you ain't who you used to be. You may be afraid of doing it, but go ahead and just say, keep watching. You'll find out I'm not something's taking place. I may look like the same person. I may have to go back to the same house I was living in. But you got to understand something. No longer because I met Jesus and I got at the feet of Jesus and I tried Jesus, no longer do I have to say unclean everywhere I go. But now she can walk around and no longer is it unclean. But now she's saying, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. You know what I love about Jesus? He can take a filthy mind and wash it in red blood. You know what I love about Jesus? He can take a gut-rot sinner and a dirty, wretched man, and he can change him from the inside out. And you watch him. Eventually, you'll hear him say, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. And the Bible says she came trembling before him. Let me go ahead and tell you. This ain't in my notes either. But just because you went one time and got at his feet, don't mean you never have to again. Because she got her fix at his feet. Thank you, Jesus. She got her fix at the feet one time. But when she fell down trembling at his feet again, she got her faith. Don't you sit there like a not on like. You know that's good stuff preaching. Even if a white boy is preaching it, it's good stuff, ain't it, sis? Yeah, come on, help me out. White people don't know how to shout. Lord God. If we was at a ball game and somebody hit a home run, you'd be shouting right now. You've been going too long. Yeah, if they went in overtime, you would too. You'd still be shouting. We in overtime, bless God. They got microwaves for that food over there. The Bible says she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's where faith kicks in. That's where walking in shoe leather of Christianity kicks in. When you can get at his feet and keep remembering all the truth of who you really are. And I love this. I said that point, I hadn't preached it yet, but I said that point was a discovery of her position. He looked at her and said, daughter, wait a minute, I thought we didn't know who she was. I thought we only knew, we didn't know her name, we just knew her need. See, That's the thing about being away from God. You're not labeled by who you could be. You're labeled by what you are. But when you get at the feet of Jesus, you find out who you really can be. I'm going to go over here and shout a little while. Y'all look like y'all might be a little bit more awake. He said, daughter, we didn't know who she belonged to. So that whole crowd said, oh, she's with him. I didn't know you belonged to him. I didn't know that's your, oh, I got it. Jairus over there, I ran her out of the church. I made her feel like she didn't belong in my presence. But he said, she's got a 12-year issue, and she's his daughter. And if he can fix his daughter, then I believe he can fix mine too. I'm going to shut her down because y'all can't take no more. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. My little girl has this little doll that is from Toy Story. What's that little cowboy's name? Toy Story. Do you know? Woody. That's it. And she broke his hand off. She brought me her doll with the broken hand, and I fixed him. Because she said, Daddy, will you fix this? And I fixed it. I felt pretty good about myself. It took a lot of duct tape, but I fixed him. She brought it to me again. She said, Daddy, I broke his hand off again. I had to fix it again. She broke it a third time, and I had to fix it again. I was in my study the other day at the house, and I was studying. I was talking to God, and God talking right back to me, and I was spending some time with him. And they know when my door is shut that they are not supposed to come in till I tell them to come in, because I may be in there studying or praying or doing something that I want to focus on God. But she come barreling through that door like Caroline can, like it's nobody's business, because she feels like she owns the place. And half the time she does. She come busting through that door, and she had that stupid Woody doll with that broken hand. And she said, Daddy, I said, hold on. You need to go out until I tell you to come back in. I'm trying to pray, baby. I'm trying to study. And she said, but Daddy, I said, Caroline. She said, but Daddy, I broke Woody's hand again and slammed it on the desk. And I was already not in the right frame of mind, and I shouldn't have done it. I'm not the best father. I'm trying to be. And I grabbed that doll, and I said, honey, if you keep breaking this doll, why don't we just go buy you a new one? And I threw that doll in the trash. I said, we'll go buy you a new one, and you won't have to worry about his hand. And she looked down at that, and little tears come in her eyes. And she reached down in that trash can and pulled it out with that little hand. She looked at me and turned around, and she looked back. She said, the only reason I bring it to you is because I know you'll fix it. And then she turned around to walk out. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You bring that doll to Daddy. If you go get Woody right now, he's got a jacked up hand. But it's on there. Because Daddy can fix it. She walked out happy. And I was sitting there with tears in my eyes. And I tried to get God to talk to me again. My spirit was already messed up. So it took me a little while. But I got on my face in that office. And I said, hey, you know why I come to you, right? Because it don't matter what's messed up and broken my life. I know you'll fix it. He showed up. I want to tell you something tonight. There is nothing. It can be broken relationships. It can be a broken heart. It can be jacked up stuff. If we'd all get real with God, sometimes we can be jacked up. But don't leave here without knowing this. It does not matter where you come from or what's messed up. You've got a Father that can fix it. I want to ask you a question. I'm finished. I'm done, preacher. Come on. I'm about to take my seat. And I want to ask you a question. What is it in your life that's not really put together like you know it ought to be and can be? Can I challenge you? Try Jesus. You'll find He's everything you'll ever need. Stand with your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes. The preacher's coming. Preacher, you can dismiss, give invitation, whatever you want to do. I'm finished.
People are already coming. You come on, find your way to the altar. Wow, amen. Praise God. End of the day, I find out we're all broken. We all just messed up. Some of us have been for years. Most of us have been for years. Few of us care to admit it. We've gotten comfortable living in it. We figured out a way to cope with it. We figured out a way to get through life with it. The fact of the matter is that you're forfeiting some of the greatest joy . You're forfeiting some of the biggest blessings of God in your life because you've chosen to remain broken. Whatever you got to do tonight, I want you to crawl to Him. Reach out to Him. He can fix it. He can fix it tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You. Lord, for a wonderful night of preaching and singing. God, we thank You for this time of revival. God, where we can spend a little bit of time around Your feet. A little bit of time in Your presence. God, feel refreshed, feel renewed. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll do that tonight. Lord, it will take time. No need to rush. God, get at Your feet. Touch the hem of Your garment. God, there's so many folks that are hurting, broken with issues. May not be an issue of blood, but they have issues. God, I pray tonight, God, to get to Your feet, get them fixed. Lord, thank You for what You're doing at our church. Thank You for the faithfulness of our people. God, I pray, Lord, that in all things You'll have Your will and way. God, we thank You for what You've done, what You're doing. God, we praise You for what You're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are still bowed. People are still around the altar. A lot of folks at the altar tonight. I pray you got some help. God's been dealing with some folks throughout the week, and just the way it's been done, I want to make sure before we leave, we do give an invitation. Maybe you're sitting here tonight unsaved, never having trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I want to give you an opportunity before we shut it down. If that's you tonight, I want you to look right up at me. Preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I was to die. I'm not sure. I don't know. If that's you tonight, I want you to look right up at me. We'll not tarry long. Is anybody like that? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again, God, for being so good to us. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless, continue, Lord, to work and to move in our revival the way you have. Lord, we thank you for it. God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Lord, when a time in my life when I was rejected by those that should have at least, at the very least, pointed me in the right direction for help. God, I pray, Lord, you help me to be one that brings others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.